Oh, I'm so excited.
This is Craig Collins with You've Binge Challenged on WGN Plus. I have two awesome guests in studio this week, and one of my guests is particularly awesome, and I will get to that in a second. But first, you're both equally awesome, actually, I should say that. I have Brandon Weatherby in studio. He is the host of You, Me, Them, Everybody, a live podcast, which is kind of cool because you actually go places and do things in public, which the rest of us podcasters don't understand. None of us understand how to be in front of people, and you somehow achieve that. And then you also have a very cool podcast on WGN Plus. Do you want to tell us a little bit about both of those?
You, Me, Them, Everybody has been going since the Bush administration. And it's true, for better or worse.
The second one.
Thank you
right, for
the clarification.
Thank you.
Esmeralda is actually the co-host of the live edition when it comes to Chicago. She's been on the show since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right, since January of 2010.
Right, yes.
In order to do a live show, make eye contact with people. That's it. Just be nice and make eye contact. It's not hard to figure out.
Do you have to?
No, you don't have to, okay. But it helps.
There's also technology things involved in that compared to just podcasting. We're in WGN Studios right now. I push a few buttons, I hit a recording back here, and that is the extent of my podcasting technology. You have to broadcast to the people. So there's speakers, there's setups of some kind.
If Alan Lomax figured out how to record people during thanks to the New Deal, you could figure it out. There's no excuses. The internet exists. And
the internet exists, but typically not in public. We usually don't do internet things for other people in the real world. So I applaud you for doing that, adding that part of your internet show.
Thank you.
The reality part.
It's
very unique, I think. I think some people are doing it now, but when you did it.
I have a lot of uniqueness, I got a lot of nerve, and I got a lot of talent.
Real quick, before I introduce Esmeralda, who is the particularly awesome guest that I have tonight, can you also tell me your WGN Plus podcast?
Yeah, it's called Ubiest Me, and it's all about Chicago with former Chicagoans, or people
awesome.
That are still living here but are gone a lot of the time. The episode that, in theory, goes up today, but that doesn't matter because podcasts are essentially timeless, is with Daniel Knox. Daniel Knox is way more popular in England and in Berlin than he is in Chicago, where he happens to live when he's not touring. So, that's what today's episode is about. The episode before is definitely my favorites with Joe McAdam. Joe was the funniest person I knew in Chicago, and now he's the funniest person in Los Angeles. Not a lot of success on that one, but he's such a great guy, and he makes me laugh the hardest. So that's a really fun episode. But yeah, it runs.
Don't get hankered down by the success of these podcasts.
Oh,
no.
This is a love.
Part.
No.
We do this for love.
This is not about me. This is about Joe. Joe, the subject of my podcast, is not having success.
Got it.
In Los Angeles, I've had people that have, for example, the first show was with CJ Toledano. CJ Toledano at the time was working for the Detroit Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
In collaboration with Funny or Die.
Wow.
To make comedy for the Detroit Pistons. That's the best job in the world for a basketball nerd that is a comic.
Yeah, that I agree
so
completely.
So people are successful. No. I'm saying that Joe McAdam specifically is not a successful man.
Well, someday he will
Wow.
be. And now let's switch to Esmeralda for just a second. Esmeralda,
shade!
Beyond. Yeah, there was shade. I'm trying to ignore the shade. My podcast doesn't usually
so
get snarky.
Shade.
Although for the show that we're doing, I
Perfect.
Guess snark
it's
makes
appropriate.
Sense. We are talking about RuPaul's Drag Race. Esmeralda Leon, you are an integral part of our show that we do live here, Pretty Late with Patty
you.
Vasquez.
Yes.
You also do a couple other shows here. What do you do? Just tell us a little bit about it.
Also, I'm on Nick DiGilio's show.
And then
overnight.
A little bit on the...
I'm Justin Kaufman
yeah,
on the
jump
download.
Jump in sometimes. Yeah. And you do traffic here. You're
yes.
just a genius.
Yes.
You also
oh, thank you.
Now have an official title for the You've Been Challenged podcast.
Wow.
You are the first person in the history of this podcast, not me, the first guest that has actually binge-watched a show and a specific season.
Imagine that.
You
the
watched,
title of the podcast
You've binge-challenged.
Is about binge-watching TV.
Yes.
And I'm the only one who's ever done it.
You're the only one who's ever done it. I actually tried to do every season of Game of Thrones with specific guests, and every guest that I asked to watch a season of Game of Thrones, some who had seen it before, refused. They couldn't do it. No one could make it. I am usually the only one that accepts a binge challenge because I'm the only one willing to do it for my show.
That's insanity.
Also, I'd like to point out, you let the guest pick the show.
Yes, correct.
Why wouldn't they want to watch it? I didn't need to binge watch it because I watched it live throughout the season.
Right,
And it just ended last week.
Right,
and I didn't watch it, so
exactly.
I binge watched it.
Right, for this podcast,
yeah.
which is, again, amazing. It is 14 episodes. Is that the most recent season?
10.
Okay,
yeah.
So the one I watched, season 7, is like 14 episodes. And I watched it on Hulu, so there were still commercials.
Yes.
So my binge total is actually about 17 hours.
Okay, I watched it through other channels.
Through other channels.
That had
and
no commercials.
I did my binge in 2 days. But again, I did not do season 8. I did season 7. You did season 8.
I
what
did.
Was that binge? It was 10 episodes.
10 episodes. I think
how many
an
days?
Hour each.
Hour each, except the finale, which is 90 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
That
okay.
one I did start to skip around because I'm like, all right, too many questions. They had
but
a lip
this
sync.
This challenge just came up a couple days ago, so you did this in a couple days.
Right. No, I did it. Okay. So I had seen up to episode 4.
Okay. So I feel a little less bad. So 4 hours less bad.
Okay, yeah, but I did binge watch 6 hours.
6 hours
of Drag Race
yeah.
yesterday.
For me.
Rather than sleeping.
In one day.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
So rather than sleeping.
What I'm going to do out of respect to the fact that you did all that is I'm going to turn the keys of my podcast over to you.
Right.
You will now become the host of You've
oh,
Been
wow.
Challenged, and you are going to interview Brandon about season 8, which I have not seen.
Okay.
And at times I will try to jump in if I can, but you guys just go ahead. Take it from here.
So, well, season 8 was... One, I thought it wasn't that great.
Oh snap.
No, I thought like Kim Chi was fantastic. So Chicago's own Kim Chi was in this.
Is Kim Chi Dungy in yet?
No.
Come on.
No, I don't
think
so.
Do you actually want ratings? Bring in the best drag
probably,
queen
you know
in
what?
The Midwest.
I don't know if she would work well on radio.
You're
she's
an
very
idiot.
Quiet.
Where does she work?
She's very quiet.
Where does she work in Chicago?
Everywhere.
Yeah,
everyone.
Does she work at the Rainbow Room or Rainbow Club?
No, Rainbow's not a gay bar.
Okay.
Rainbow?
No, there's a drag. There's a drag
oh,
bar here in the Loop area.
Oh.
No.
It's a famous one. We actually partnered with them for one of our pride parades.
I would not be surprised at all. All the clips that I've seen her just hosting have been at like Berlin.
Right.
Ah.
So have I. No, but she's very quiet.
The,
and she has that lisp.
That's on the TV show,
lisp.
But not on mic. Watch the behind-the-scenes Bob the Drag Queen YouTube video.
See, now that's my favorite thing when people say this, too, because you just demonstrated you are a super fan of this show.
Yeah, I'm
because you just told someone to watch the behind-the-scenes
yeah,
of
right.
every episode.
Yeah.
That is a lot of additional watching.
Which I also, and then I did watch a three-minute thing of
what?
Where they got to see who won.
Yeah.
Because I think RuPaul started doing it maybe a few seasons ago.
Here's what Esmeralda was talking about. The live finale is actually filmed the week prior.
Wow.
Right.
Okay? They needed, but because it's a week prior, they filmed the all three queens
yeah.
winning.
So that's why no one's ever that excited to
got
win.
It.
Exactly.
That makes a lot more sense now.
The
thank
reason
you.
Is Perez Hilton spoiled it before the season even premiered. I want to say in season 3.
Oh, she's like he's like the reality Steve of the show?
Sure.
Okay, got it.
So,
reality Steve spoils The Bachelor, Bachelorette, all those
exactly.
shows.
So it's, but that's not cool.
Yeah, so now they have to do that. But it was fun to watch them because they were sitting in a room and the winner of season 8, I mean, everyone knows now, is Bob the Drag Queen.
Oh, I love Bob.
Bob the Drag Queen.
I haven't seen it.
It's so good.
He is. So he's from New York.
Cool.
He's not a very typical drag queen in the sense of he's not gorgeous, but he's hilarious. He's an all-around entertainer.
He's the second comedy queen.
Right.
But he's also the first social justice warrior queen.
Wow.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did see that too.
Can you go ahead and explain that?
He was arrested protesting marriage rights in New York years ago. He's 29, a little older on it.
Yeah.
You saw season 7, which is Violet Chachki. That skews very young. That's the Instagram queen, right?
I did. She did. I did see her in this season because she had to give up her crown and give it to
yes,
you,
in the finale Bob. Every year, they hand over the crown.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And her look in the finale, it was amazing. It was jaw-dropping.
She's gorgeous.
She is gorgeous.
Can I just real quick about season 7? Were you happy with that, or did you kind of want Ginger to win?
I knew who was going to win because I work for Brightest Young Things, and we do Pride in D.C.
Got it.
So last year I had to deal with Pearl. So like I had to follow, and I also knew we'll go to season 6 even further back. I had to deal with Adore Delano. Adore was amazing.
Right. I would hope so.
Completely off topic, sort of. Actually, not completely off topic.
No,
completely
it's
on,
the,
topic,
it's on topic.
Related.
Yeah. Just keep 100%.
Just because I don't like someone doesn't mean they don't deserve to win.
That's true.
So I mean,
I just really like Ginger. For the season that I watched, I was a big, big fan of the human being that is Ginger, the personality that he put on or she put on, everything about.
Oh, we should set up some rules really quick.
Go ahead.
Or not rules, but info sheets for the people.
Yeah, how we talk.
Yeah, gender kind of sort of matters in this, but not really.
Sure.
Pronouns will be used fluidly. It doesn't matter. RuPaul Charles, real name, occasionally is in full drag.
Yep.
I'd say 70% of the time, though, in a suit as a boy. He calls it male drag. It doesn't matter. So.
Oh, yeah, no. Thank you for that.
I want to make it very clear that this is, I am, at least me, I can only speak for me,
mm-hmm.
I am not using any pronoun in a pejorative sense. Queen is used very openly.
Right.
There was a thing that you might not have noticed, but you might have because you went early. Season
you know what?
4.
Here, let me interrupt you real quick for
yes.
what I may or may not have noticed, because I want to admit something on the podcast that makes me a complete idiot in this world, and this is going to sound really stupid to both of you, I didn't realize that RuPaul was both the female and the male for 3.5 episodes.
Oh my God!
It took me 3.5 episodes because the transition that she
so
goes
amazing.
Through is so wonderful.
Really?
It's so convincing and incredible and so well done. And I was familiar with RuPaul as a celebrity, mm-hmm. the female version of RuPaul, the drag.
Yes.
I was familiar with that for a while. I actually had never seen RuPaul in the male persona or the man.
Do you think was RuPaul's sister?
Brother? I've seen other reality shows, and I know that there's typically two hosts in some of these. So I thought that it was another, and they kept calling him Ru, and I was confused. I'm like, why are they calling? It took me 3 episodes to get there.
Oh my God!
Because then eventually he says something in his male appearance, and I connect finally that okay, that's the same person.
Wow.
It took me that long. So whatever you're going to ask, if I noticed, I'm betting the answer is no.
That's amazing.
I mean,
they are completely different.
Maybe because I've known about RuPaul for so long.
Right.
That
I mean,
it
RuPaul
wasn't even a thing. Like yeah. I knew that.
Right. I mean, I knew the female RuPaul was in drag, but it's so convincingly female that
RuPaul is an amazing drag queen.
Oh my God, amazing. That I didn't connect the dots because it's that different to me.
I don't, right. You might be the first and only man or woman that has ever gone through that. That is amazing.
That's right. Yeah, I've never
okay, so when I binge watch stuff that people challenge me to, some stuff I have no sense of. I have no connection to, and I didn't have a sense of even RuPaul the celebrity really, outside of a few things that I'd seen on the internet, and typically you see the female.
I am so fascinated by this because I remember when Supermodel came out in 92.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Because
so do I
was a fan of CeCe Peniston. And CeCe Peniston's finally came out like within that same 6-month mm-hmm. period as Supermodel. So like I was a 10-year-old, 9-year-old boy, really, really, really great at sports. I was so good
sure,
at sports.
Sure, sure. And, probably pretty popular.
I was incredibly popular. No, this is not a JK. This is a complete truth. And no, I didn't have a dad. So like I was really good at sports. And I was like,
I also didn't have a dad. So I guess we could just talk about that if we want
to. Yeah, that's why I love Drag Race, because it's all about identity and making up your own family. It's
Drag
the same
Race
thing.
Is also my favorite thing about the show, real quick.
Anyways, not real quick. We need to do our history report.
Okay, fine. Good. No, I just want to say, because I did reveal that I'm a complete moron here. I do really love this show. And one thing I like about it is how silly everyone in the show allows themselves to be. A lot of reality shows you see, and unfortunately I watch a lot of the other ones, take everything so seriously that the moments in this, even RuPaul's transitions sometimes when he asks for the, or she asks, I'm going to keep doing that, for the girls to come back in, mm-hmm. the way that she does it every single time mm-hmm. is so funny and it's different. And I just love the fact that the show is this loose and this silly constantly. I know some of the contestants really take things hard, but the hosts and the judges seem to be kind of silly and goofy in some of the things that they do.
Whenever a pun can be said, a pun is said.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. No, and the thing is, the contestants, they are pretty much, for the most part, they are big personalities.
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't be able to be that like serious and into this like that. They wouldn't. I don't think they could.
Right.
There always
has to
be
right.
an angle of humor.
You're right. And the ones who actually start off the show kind of a little bit more reserved are picked on right away. The ones like in season 7, a couple of the girls were picked on immediately for not opening up. And they were still being what I thought was funny and kind of open people, but they weren't being as...
Anybody in particular?
Well, so one of the two... I'm blanking on her name right now. One of the two, there was... Okay, I have to look this up now because I can't remember her...
Did she go home early?
No, she actually stayed for a little while.
Was it Pearl?
Yeah, it was Pearl. Wait, let me click on this.
Because there's a moment where it finally clicks for Pearl. Like, oh, and it's fine.
Yes, thank you. Yes, yeah. So Pearl in the first few episodes is, struggling a lot to come out, and a lot
She's
of people are getting angry.
At a certain point. Pearl also, is a very attractive human being.
Yeah. Honestly, everyone in the show
no.
does a really good job of... Okay.
Some people are uggos in real life.
Yeah, some of them. No, and then there's the ones that are just.
I don't know though. There's things about
fishy.
Well, no, there's things about though their faces that it would be very hard for a very masculine, maybe ugly looking human to transition that beautifully into a female.
You're
so I think,
a very nice person.
No, no, no. I do.
Do not know enough about this stuff because there are some real, real people with a lot of real drug problems.
Okay.
That
well,
destroy
no, that's
their faces, but they could still pull off the performance.
Okay. Well, but what I'm saying though is I think that even people who might have through whatever, drugs or I guess whatever,
hurt
the features that exist there. There's still some embedded features that just probably are consistent among everyone who's able to do this well. And the people on the show seem to all be able to do this well.
I'd say a little bit, but makeup is amazing. Makeup is amazing.
I've never put that on my face, so I guess I don't understand that.
That's why season 8's Kimchi was so amazing. It was the best looks of all 8 seasons.
That season, she was amazing, but I was a little underwhelmed.
Her performance from
Kimchi? No, I was underwhelmed from the other people, like their challenges and things.
Okay.
It wasn't as amazing. Like some stuff, people were just gluing things on the bathing suits.
The fashion stuff.
I'm like, come on.
Where Kimchi's stuff was.
No, hers
was so
on.
Good.
No, she was on point.
We're a little far in, and I apologize for this. I was supposed to ask you why you challenged me to watch the show first, like what got you into the show originally. And then I'm supposed to turn the keys over to Esmeralda because I assume you have a lot more season 8 questions that we haven't gotten to.
I mean, and I'll probably. Yeah.
Yeah, so we can do either of those things. Maybe at the very end of the podcast, you explain to me why you love the show so much.
Whatever you want.
So let's go ahead, Esmeralda. What are some of your other questions for Brandon about season 8?
Let me see. I'm trying to think. Okay. It's not really questions. It's more just comments.
Comments.
That's
yeah,
fine.
Go ahead. Yeah, let's have a conversation.
Many comments. It was cracking me up how everyone was so mad at Bob the drag queen because she kept winning. And everyone's like, how the mighty will fall. And I already knew she's going to win. And I'm like, no, sweetheart, she's not going to lose.
First.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I was going to do that yesterday. And I completely forgot.
Okay, so Bob the drag queen's motto has become purse first.
Purse first.
And it started naturally. It started during the first episode when she happened to have a little extra time. So she just made a duct tape handbag.
No, she made one out of a curtain.
Okay.
They had to make clothes out of curtains.
So, sure. And then they would just enter the room purse first.
Yeah, and it was just the ugliest bag ever because it was made out of curtains. And she was like, you know what? I'm going to come in purse first.
It was supposed to be ugly? It was a contest
kind of?
To be ugly?
Because
they did an ugly dress.
The material that she had, she's like,
the ugly dress with the John Waters
challenge? Yeah, they did an ugly dress in one of the episodes I watched, which was amazing, too. I like the fact that they steered
there. That's
why
you like Ginger, because Ginger really shined
in that. No, Ginger is hilarious.
She could make
the videos
dress.
That Ginger made for that, you're right, she shined
in that.
But every part of drag queens, to me, is the performance. It's not just the look, it's the performance. And Ginger, to me, was the best performer in season 7, hands down. There's no way that anyone else, Pearl, who took a long time, like you said, to come out of her shell, Violet, no one performed to the level that Ginger did. And that's why I fell in love with Ginger and thought she definitely deserved to win the show.
Was she a finalist?
She was
in the top three. She was one of the runners up.
She would have been the first big queen.
Yeah.
Oh.
She deserved to win the show, though, because that has to be the one part. I just said that I think, looks-wise, there's something that's probably similar about all the faces of all the people on the show because the way they transition to look like lovely women. The way that they transition from being a dude to looking like... I would not look like a good female.
Well,
I would not do that well. No,
you don't know.
No, I don't think
I'm
so.
I'm telling you.
I would be
a
very ugly...
There's a really great series hosted by Alaska who is a season 5 runner-up who should have won and will compete in battle the season and clearly win. She's got a makeup tutorial / like fun thing
on
YouTube, and she did her brother. And her brother is like a Marine, and it's adorable.
No,
so,
it's fine. All right, I will see that maybe I would look nice if I went and drag.
That's right.
What I'm saying, though, is at this level, people who are competing on a reality show, and I assume they're picking fairly talented people.
These are the best of the best.
Right, exactly. I would think that looks is not what sets you apart anymore. That at this point, however well you do your makeup, however well you appear, that only says so much. The performer is the true heart of drag queen.
Heart of a drag. I mean, you have to look good.
Yeah.
I would love to go see a show with people that didn't look particularly attractive but performed the hell out of something. I would still really enjoy myself. The reverse is not as true. If they looked amazing but performed terribly, I would not have a good time. So I think
that's a look queen.
Yeah, exactly. Most shows that are
I'm so confused by this.
Okay, most shows that are at like a pride are a little bit of everything.
Right.
But then there's also like balls, right? And that's
right.
And then there's also like performance. And there's like RuPaul came up in the punk scene. So there's just like dudes in like really shitty drag. Like I've played shows in dresses. I would not say I was in drag.
By the way, I'm going to bleep curse words.
Sorry.
You can use them, but I will bleep them.
Sorry. I've played shows in drag. Like, I wouldn't call it drag just because I was wearing a dress and horrible makeup. You know what I mean? Like, so there's all different types of levels. And, for example, Adora Delano, who you might have seen. She probably made an appearance in season 7.
I think so.
She is the closest to, like, punk rock. I'm using air quotes right now.
Can you explain the punk rock version of drag? Because I didn't even know that RuPaul was two people for a while. So.
Yeah. Okay. So that's just
stupid.
No,
go ahead. No, keep going.
I would never say
no,
that.
No, I felt really dumb. I actually had to pause the show. To be honest with you, I was watching the show. I'm three episodes in. I finally register that this is the same person. I paused it and I go, do I admit this to other human beings in the real world?
Did you get two pictures and you're just like,
Was it the voice?
It is. It's the voice. It's actually the way in which it's the mannerisms. It's everything about it that I should have known right away. I should have known that.
Well, because you know what happens too.
But
is,
we all have to say how amazing that transition is,
sure.
Right?
But and we've known this for 20 years.
Yeah, okay, I have not. Yeah, I've known it for 3 or 4 days.
What happens too is that when they are in drag, it's a whole different person.
Right.
It's
a whole I know it's a
character.
Persona, it's everything. Yeah, I know.
Right. So then that could happen.
That's
like
actually
sometimes you don't if you've never seen them.
That's
out
actually
of makeup. I mean, I kind of see it but not really.
That's actually why I'm failing to use the right pronouns. Why I'm saying he and she cuz I see
no
them
wrong.
I see them as two different people.
They
I see the male person that they are and the female person as they are as two like you said because of maybe the way that they behave that's different. For instance, Ginger, my favorite.
Yes.
As a guy is just a really nice kind of dude, but as a female, it's the character that she is so vibrant. It's so I love Ginger. I'm in love
right.
with Ginger.
Okay.
I just I'll say it now.
If you were doing okay, so the interesting way to watch this show is
yeah, go ahead.
From how it fits into the canon, and they are very conscious of who they've picked before. And in season 8, I think for the first time, we hit maybe all of them. We saw every single queen in the finale. They know their history and they don't want to make mistakes. Is that fair to say?
What do you mean?
If they could check off certain boxes, they want to check it off. For example, it's like, okay, Sharon Eales is our spooky queen. We've got that box checked. Chad Michaels is our Cher, so we're not going to have Brittany because we already have Cher. See what
right.
I mean?
Well, and that Brittany wasn't that
exactly.
Great.
Tyra was our look queen, so we have that. Our first season doesn't really count because no one cares.
No, you'd be this doesn't make sense to me, though. If you check off all the box, but then you compete against each other, you have to have one. Can I compare it to a tattoo show that I watch?
Which Skin Wars?
No, I watch Ink Master.
I watch. I only watch it because RuPaul's a judge.
I watch Ink Master, and one of the ideas they say all these tattoo artists come in with different specialties. Someone's really good at New Age, someone's new at this. But the one who wins has to be versatile. They have to be great at everything.
I'm not disagreeing, but if you understand the history of Drag Race, you knew Ginger Minj wasn't going to win because because season 6's winner was a comedy queen. They're not going to do two comedy queens in a row.
Why not?
Because
she was the best one.
Because it doesn't matter. What fulfills a certain... it's less about what's good and bad and more about what's going
what
to
fulfills
diversify the portfolio.
Well, but you also said that she would have been the first...
Big queen.
Thank you. I didn't... Yeah,
but she was way more funny than Big. That was her gimmick wasn't just like, I'm Big.
It had nothing to do with it.
She's a comedy queen.
No, she was incredible. She's amazing.
And
just want to keep
Bob is less of a comedy queen and more social justice warrior than anything else.
Really?
Yes. Bob is the easiest... Bob. Now we can talk about marriage equality and like he's got an arrest record and he's like easy on the mic. Who is better on... Okay, season 6 is amazing. But compared to Violet, who cannot... is not likable at all.
No, she's not.
Bob is so likable. Boy or girl Bob. He goes by the name Bob the Drag Queen. Come on.
Yeah, that's his name is Bob the Drag Queen.
Did you already say why Violet won? What?
Yes, I did not
queen
say.
Is she?
She's the young Instagram queen.
Okay.
It's to get the new generation in.
Okay.
Because they don't want to age themselves out. And you can't just give it.
Well, that is another thing in the show that I really liked. I saw the age difference.
Yes.
The very first episode, unfortunately, one of the people that gets thrown off from the show that I watched is 46 years old and really did a great job of transitioning as well. And a lot of the girls were very mean when he was a boy, when, you know, he took all the makeup off because they said how old he looked and stuff. And I thought that was really sad and unfair.
It is not unfair because it's truth. He is old and he started when he was like 42.
Oh, come on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he started super late. That's in the show. It's not like he'd been doing this for 25 years.
Yeah.
No, that's on you. If you're not ready to do this, don't do it. I don't care how old you are. That's another thing with this. Like, somebody's going to go home. You can't play for nice.
Right.
Yeah, you can't make friends.
Did people go home for being old in season 8?
No one ever has gone home for being old.
She went home for being old.
No,
Tempest,
she went home
they
because...
sent Tempest home, and what they said to her is you are old. A lot of people said
right
she's
one?
Old.
Okay, so
Patrick Holt,
I'm
Tempest.
Thinking of the one that looks like Herman Munster.
Oh, boy.
Who's that?
No, I think you're thinking of the right person.
What I'm thinking what
this
happened
is a snarky
was
show.
Yeah.
Probably using very old techniques.
Okay, go ahead.
And using things that aren't, because that's what you have to do. That and that's what happens with a lot of the older queens, is that they don't know. They're very old school, and they don't do this a certain way. They only do it a certain way.
So they're putting on
this.
The makeup wrong, is what you're saying.
I mean, sometimes it's an old school technique or okay. the way that they style their hair, the outfit they're wearing. It's like, that's not how it doesn't work that way anymore.
Got it.
If you can't present to me 20 great looks, don't come on the show, because you know there's going to be two challenges a show, sometimes more, and if you want to get to the end, you need to have all of these things prepared. You know what you're getting into. You watch season 7. We've watched 8. There, you know the formula. They haven't altered it drastically at all.
Right.
Come on, no excuses.
Can I go off topic for just a second and ask you, because you mentioned a little bit ago that as a child you were really good at sports.
Yeah.
Have you seen 5th, 6th grade basketball, soccer, anything recently as an adult? Have
no,
you watched
I have
children play sports?
I don't want to.
Well, so
that's
I have a nephew.
So sad.
I have a nephew that plays hockey, soccer. He's actually pretty good.
Sure.
But I go to his games, and inevitably I actually feel for the kid who's terrible. The one kid who's out there with everybody else, and you can just tell he is not born to do this. But he's trying as hard as he can to be. That's the kid that I fall for. And I think, unfortunately, when I watch these reality shows, that is the contestant that I fall for as well. The person who
is
succeeding above their standards and trying like hell to stay in the competition.
That's the narrative they tell every season. It's great.
But
yeah, it's amazing.
But if you're trying your hardest and you're still not doing anything,
No, that person deserves to win. That person, Rudy made a tackle at the end of Rudy. It was a sack.
No.
Yes, Rudy.
No.
Everyone begged to put you in the game. People are cheering throughout the stadium.
You should have had better goals.
Rudy.
I don't care.
Rudy.
You should change.
And then he goes into the game and makes a sack. Yes, that is the life that I want. That's the life I want for people on these TV shows.
Here's
okay. It's like a sad, oh, we put you in the game.
Yeah, he's still a loser.
Yeah.
Also,
yes.
Joe Montana refuted that entire storyline. That's not, Rudy was not really a true
I've met Daniel Rudy Rudiger, and he says that it happened. And
yeah,
actually,
he likes money.
And actually, there is also that little thing called a stat page where he has a sack.
Yeah, but like,
he's credited for a sack.
It wasn't like all of Notre Dame was like, we got to get this little runt in. No, no one cared. Also, for Drag Race, and winning does matter because it's literally $100,000.
I know.
Yeah.
But
and a bunch of free stuff.
It doesn't really matter in the long run because 100% of these queens, if they do well on the show, and by well, I mean like have some sort of fan base, tour indefinitely.
Is Ginger touring right now?
Oh, yeah. Ginger's part of BOTS.
BOTS
stands for Battle of the Seasons. RuPaul's Drag Race BOTS. It's sold out in D.C. weeks in advance.
Oh, when is that happening?
You just missed it.
Okay,
or maybe it's coming up.
Please let me go to this.
Okay, yeah.
It's coming up.
Ginger's on that show.
Get me into it.
Okay, fine. You know, you could just send like 3 emails and get in.
Okay, wonderful.
That's like everything
I want to go so bad.
Yeah. Ginger's on that show because she was a fan favorite. So it's like, you didn't win, but like it doesn't really matter. Alaska's been on every single one since she'd lost, and that's been even longer since season 5.
Well, also, I think it's a contract thing.
No, it's not.
No?
There's a competing tour. Not competing because it was in different months, but Latrice Royale, one of the best of all time.
They have the best names.
Oh, they all do.
Latrice has her own production company, and so she also has a tour that is loosely affiliated with the show, but RuPaul makes no money on it, and that's in the early spring. So when that came to Washington, D.C., it played like a 1,200-seat room.
Got it.
So
And now it's all queens that have not been on Drag Race. All the locals are queens that have not been on Drag Race, and then it's like 7 queens that have been on Drag Race.
Okay.
And they'll still do BOTS.
Got it.
So that's why it doesn't really matter who's wins.
Okay,
what
that's fine.
Really matters is how do you interact with your fan base?
Yeah.
Because you can make so much more money doing it that way.
Well, and
well
I know,
you have to at least get top 5.
Yeah, you really probably
you
have to
well.
Place. Because you can't be on for one episode.
Well, that's the running joke. The first person that got eliminated in the first episode still comes up in passing throughout every season
awesome.
And during the podcast because like that's kind of the joke and she's actually parlayed a career into that.
Wow.
And they'll like she'll have not Indiegogo, she'll have like when you have to fill out a petition, like petition.org to like
change.org.
Yeah, like,
change.org
to get her back on the show and stuff like that. So like you actually can make lemons out of the smallest I screwed up that analogy. I apologize.
No, it's totally fine. You nailed it. I'm gonna leave it at that. I'm not gonna let you correct it. So one thing that I always do in this podcast and I feel like I've done again today is I detract into just one point, and I try to make that point over and over and over again.
You succeeded.
Thank you. And in doing so, I actually failed to cover a lot of the other stuff. So, guys, please tell me some of your other favorite parts of the show that we have completely neglected to mention at this point.
Oh, there's the pit crew.
The pit crew?
Yeah.
Yeah. hot dudes.
Yeah.
I love that the entire show is aspirational and it's not just.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It is. Oh, and then they always cry.
Yep.
And then I cry.
Yep.
RuPaul loves. So
I don't know why you don't want the most aspirational contestant to win. I'm doing it again, but that's fine.
No.
Okay. So what else? Say other things that you like about the show that we failed to
Gender
mention.
Gender doesn't matter.
Nope.
I know you have sex with whoever you want, whenever you want, as long as it's consensual. Who cares?
Sure. Pansexual.
It doesn't matter.
Season 8, Derek Barry has 2 boyfriends.
Hell yeah.
Are you impressed?
Yes.
It's hard to maintain 2 relationships.
I know. I'm like,
that
what?
Has to be
How
impossible.
Do you do that?
Yeah, seriously.
Derek Barry's the Britney Spears impersonator.
Did they at least go to like dinner, all 3 of them?
No, I don't know. I just saw them in the final season thing.
Because if you have 2 relationships,
like,
you have
and
to.
And 2 boyfriends. They put it in parentheses when they were talking. Her 2 boyfriends. I'm like, what?
If you have 2 relationships, though, you eventually have to be taking them out as a group because you
yeah,
can't.
Yeah, no, I think they're
okay,
all
good.
Together.
Good. Wonderful.
He lives in Vegas as a Vegas performer. It's horrible. Vegas is horrible. We have a mutual friend there, and he's the only reason I'd be considering going back to Vegas. Vegas is the worst, maybe the worst place in America. That was intentional.
He's asking for us to ask other questions about why you feel that way. I think you're leading us there.
Not at all.
Okay. Vegas is awful.
Yeah, it's the
it is.
And a lot of drag queens come from Vegas.
Right.
I love.
There's parts of Vegas though that are at least a little fun.
There's parts of everywhere that are a little fun. But
yeah, but
all,
you can only. I mean, I always you can only go like a weekend.
The stereotypical parts of Vegas can be fun in some ways. The
Absolutely.
Shows that are all over the place. The gambling. There's aspects of gambling that can be fun.
And then they can be really awful.
It can for sure.
Like Derek Barry.
Truly awful. Derek
Barry is a really great representation of Las Vegas
and the horrible parts of it.
Yeah
the horrible overarching message of it.
You don't need to diversify and learn how to do your eyes before you enter RuPaul's Drag Race.
See, okay, so that one is a good that one
up.
Didn't so Derek Barry is the Britney Spears impersonator, and throughout the whole season it was this whole thing of like, we don't know who you are because you're just a Britney Spears impersonator, and he would try to do things. And it would always be like a Britney Spears knockoff kind of thing.
Was the Britney Spears impersonation good?
It's amazing. You could not have better, but that's one thing. And
we
don't care. This is not like impersonation show. RuPaul's
exactly.
RuPaul. RuPaul got famous doing RuPaul.
Exactly.
Right.
So I agree with that again, too, though, she only performed one thing really well. That's not versatile enough.
Well, and the thing is, so they would get on her about this, is that she wouldn't do, so she had very natural makeup.
Oh.
And it's like you're supposed to, like, your eyebrows and things like that. Like, her eyebrows were just naturally her eyebrows.
I'm okay with all that.
And usually they, you know, they cover them up and they do them and they're very dramatic. Mm-hmm. Because you are a drag queen. This is drag makeup.
We're playing with gender identity here.
Yeah, there's
we're
a not, whole, you're
again,
a big
though,
personality.
That's how you make the show. The people who can't even pull off looking like a convincing female don't even make the show. They don't deserve to make the show.
No, because it's not really about playing a convincing female. It's not about tricking people.
I didn't mean it that way. I don't mean tricking people. Usually you go in somewhere and you know, when I go to a drag show, I know what a drag show is, so I'm not tricked. I'm actually very entertained.
But the thing is, you don't have to look like you have to look somewhat feminine, but
well, no, I don't even mean what I'm trying to say is that convincingly change to look like someone else. Maybe that's a better way to articulate what I'm saying.
But you're not really trying to be someone else either.
Oh,
you're
God, you're nitpicking everything.
This stuff matters.
What am I trying? What are you trying to be?
You're playing an exaggerated idea of a thing.
So if you do your makeup poorly, though, you
go home.
Look similar. Yeah, well, okay. You also look similar to how you appear without makeup on, correct? If you do your makeup poorly, you may look similar. So what I'm trying to say, the point I'm trying to make, is that all the people who get on the show can do makeup well enough to appear different.
Yeah, well enough. And then the ones who, but it has to be amazing. And those are the ones that go home.
The Derek Barry situation is, Derek Barry does Britney makeup perfectly.
Right.
Because
I just saw
is a human being, not a drag queen.
Yeah. And and he's very, Derek Barry has very feminine features.
Clearly, like plastic surgery to look exactly like Britney.
Right.
Right.
So he has to. So he can.
I agree that
minimal makeup.
This person doesn't sound like they deserve to win a show, and I don't think that they would fulfill what I'm looking for, which is a great performer.
That
not just
being said,
not
no,
just
really
a great performer.
A,
no, because
Britney
it's not
Spears.
That's not versatile performing. That's specific
that is
performing.
I agree completely. There was one challenge though where Derek Barry actually shined, and it was shocking to everyone because it wasn't playing Britney Spears, and that was the political act. Ads that he did with Bob.
Oh, right. Oh, gosh. That was killing
me. Exactly. And the reason I brought this up is because this relates back to Purse First. Bob the Drag Queen's so successful that before the season finale aired, he released, maybe it was, he had a GoFundMe campaign to like shoot a sitcom for $70,000.
Oh.
And he made a lot, people liked it. The day after the Drag Race finale, he released his video for Purse First,
featuring
Derek Barry.
Wow.
Really?
Exactly. Derek and Manila Luzon. Derek Barry and Manila.
I saw Manila.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Manila did not win. Derek did not win. But they're all friends because that's the way it should be. Yeah. It's really just a big fraternity, and it's awesome.
Right. Yeah. Once you're on the show, you're in the family.
Really? Because they really treat some of the people crappy.
Do they, though?
Yes.
But it's because you're competing.
Exactly. Yes, they do treat some of the people crappy.
But
yes.
Then by the end of it, that's why the finale is usually sort of a reunion special, but it's not like catty. It's more just like, we're fun. They do talk about that stuff, and then they have to tour together. And there are a few that are like complete prima donnas. Like Sharon Needle, there's only horrible stories about season 4 winner.
Oh, really?
Sharon Needle. Oh, yeah. She's a nightmare. That being said, she's gotten almost the biggest amount of crossover success because like she hosted her own show on Logo. She gets a lot of like the spooky stuff. She's got multiple albums.
She's funny.
Do people like Miss Fame now?
No.
See, exactly. Mm-hmm. So they don't become friends. Everybody really hated her, and now they still hate her.
But I'm sure there's like 2 people that love her.
Okay. Right.
Out of the 100 that have been on. You
and
know?
Again, it's a family. You don't love everyone. I mean, you love everyone in your family, but some people you just hate and you don't want to talk to them all the time.
My friend was on Survivor. My friend competed on Survivor. Yes, Survivor China. And he actually goes to a lot of these Survivor events now still. And he says that it's a big, giant family of whatever.
When you say you know that.
I say Survivor China.
Survivor events? Like, are these, so these are other people that were on the show?
Yeah. So every so often they put these kind of reunion events on where people go and actually. Fans can pay and go to see them. So he goes to Survivor events every so often.
So occasionally your friend has to like sign autographs for
Mike,
a Survivor.
Mike Frosty Zerno signs autographs as Frosty, actually, because he was on Survivor. He actually also had a relationship on Survivor.
Oh, boy.
He had a little bit of a dating relationship with Courtney, and then it didn't work out in the real world. So it was
only
more for
the
TV
island.
Show. Yeah, Frosty didn't know it was only for the TV show, by the way. Although I should not admit that on this podcast. We are 49 minutes in.
I think you're safe.
At times, I was a complete moron, so I imagine most people turn this off. They think that I'm insensitive and an idiot. I apologize for any and all of that. But yeah, no, Mike Frosty Zerno did not know that Courtney was not into him. She was liking the TV aspect of the relationship.
So
fascinating.
Yeah, good talk. We've had a really good talk here, guys. I'm very happy that you've both done the show. Is there a last word you want to say on RuPaul or anything outside of how much of a horrible person I am? Just anything else.
Well, Craig, if you can't love yourself,
oh, nice.
How the hell
nice.
Are you going to love someone else?
That was well done.
Fuck it up.
You can bleep it. It'll be perfect.
It's bleeped on Logo.
I'm going to bleep that up. Yeah.
It's perfect.
This is You've Been Challenged. I'm Craig Collins. I love drag queens and drag queen shows, just to make sure that everyone understands that. Come back next week. I believe that I will be going back to Game of Thrones stuff, but maybe not. I'm actually going to start doing a whirlwind of WGN Plus people. So thank you so much for attending, guys, and I'll see you later.